Every time I do something on Wednesday night, I don't know how much you guys study this, but every time I come in on Wednesday night and I've got a chapter or something to do, I start reading that thing and things start to click and I start to researching, and then I say, I don't have time for this. And then I say, well, this is interesting. And so I say, I wonder if that's true. And then I start checking and I say, now I don't want to fudge on this. I wonder if it's true. And I start checking, and usually I'd have to say that of all the people in the church that get the most out of these Wednesday night meetings, it's probably me. Because when I come in here and start going through there and researching the things, I discovered things I've never noticed before, and I start trying to correlate them with other things. So you'll see what I'm talking about in about two shakes of a sheep's tail. The guardian of the covenant. Now tonight, I'm going to talk about something that I'm going to begin tonight, and I don't think I'll finish it. But what I'm going to do is continue next Wednesday night with it, because it's very interesting, and I'm still doing research on it. And the more I research it, the more interesting it gets. The guardian of the covenant. We're in the 13th chapter of Judges, verses 1 through 7. And the children of Israel. Now, remember they're of Israel, the man Jacob. And remember the study we've been doing on the seed, how God preserved and protected the seed that was promised to Adam and Eve in the garden. And he told Eve that her seed would crush the head of the serpent and his heel would be bruised, referring ahead to Christ. And remember how we then saw Cain slew Abel. And then Eve said, I have gotten me another seed from the Lord, when she got Seth. Then remember how I showed you that Seth, all the way down to Noah, all those people in Seth's line down to Noah. Now there were many branches that went out of Seth, but the only one that was perfect in all its generations from Seth down to Noah was the line of Noah. And when I say perfect, I mean they were the only ones that didn't worship idols. The only ones. All the rest of them started worshiping other gods. But in that line down to Noah, he was perfect in his generation. Then all of a sudden we go through the flood, and the line is maintained. Up to this point, the angel of the Lord doesn't even appear in Scripture. All of a sudden, we see Terah, Abraham's father. He's an idolater. There's a break. That's the first person in that line that worshipped other gods. Then all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appears for the first time. And from there on, apparently, he is the guardian of the covenant. And so as we go through here, I think we'll find this interesting, at least the beginning of it, and we're going to trace it all the way through on these Wednesday nights while I'm home. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Now, why did I say of Israel? Because this is the man, Jacob, and these are the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Israel, to whom the promise was made. And then we go on, and we see, and there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren, and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold, now, thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive, and bear a son. Now, as we go through here, there's one pattern that you can follow all the way through. Whenever you talk about the angel of the Lord, he's always protecting, or delivering, or continuing, or maintaining the seed, which is through Abraham, Isaac, then Jacob, or the man Israel. The devil has been trying to destroy Israel ever since she became a nation. He would love to see every single Jew on the surface of this earth destroyed. Now, I can't prove this next statement, but I have a very strong suspicion that this idea that Hitler had was satanically involved, and it was an attempt to eradicate the entire Jewish race. Because if there is no Israel, then God's covenant is void. Now, therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine, nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive, and bear a son. This son was to be Samson. And no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, so far, the only point I've tried to make is, from this scripture, this angel of the Lord is going to cause a man to deliver Israel, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. So you have the seed of Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob, all of them here. And you have the angel of the Lord appearing. And the purpose of his appearing is that eventually, after Samson is born, he will deliver the nation of Israel. So here's the protective role of this angel of the Lord. But it's a lot more graphic in other sections. Now notice, and the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me. Now angels don't have wings. And the word angel, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, can mean messenger. But this woman says, a man of God came unto me. He was a man whose countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, a messenger of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. Now, a little while later on in the scripture, when we go further down in the Hebrew, when this man, Manoah, asked what his name is, he says his name is Wonderful. And there's no angel named Wonderful, but there is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is named Wonderful. But we'll get to that later on. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and thou drink no wine, nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. I went back through, and I took all the scriptures I could find in the Bible on the angel of the Lord, both Old and New Testament. And here's the conclusion I came to. He is the messenger of the seed covenant God made with Abraham. That's who the angel of the Lord is. He is the author, protector, and finisher of all aspects of God's promise to Abraham. The angel of the Lord was an appearance of the Logos. John's Logos, the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Word was with God. The Logos was with God. And the Logos, the Word, was God. The angel of the Lord was an appearance of the Logos, our divine person of the Messiah, prelusive. That means coming on the scene before he was ever incarnate in a manger in Bethlehem. The angel of the Lord has an appearance of the Logos, our divine person of the Messiah, prelusive, as in many previous instances found from Genesis to our text, and we're going to go back in Genesis, and as each Wednesday night progresses, we're going to continue right down to our text. We're going to cover every time the angel of the Lord appeared to his actual incarnate manifestation in the fullness of time in Bethlehem. Before Jesus ever appeared as God incarnate in a manger in Bethlehem, as the living Son of God, the Logos, he appeared many times to people as a man. And he is referred to as the angel of the Lord. And as we go back through here, I'll make my case to prove that, because in many times he accepted sacrifice, this angel, and angels are not supposed to do that. Now, in our scripture, notice how he is associated with the protection and continuation of the seed promise right up to our text. These men of Judges are the seeds of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, let's take a look at something that Joshua said, and then we'll get back into what I'm talking about, but I'll need to do this first. The angel of the Lord, Joshua 24, 2 and 3. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, Terah and Nahor, and they served other gods. God had maintained the integrity of no one in the line of Seth all the way down to Noah ever worshiping a false god. The integrity was maintained until Terah, Abraham's father. Then all of a sudden, Terah did it. It was at this time that the angel of the Lord comes on the scene, the manifestation of Christ as a man, the Son of God, before he appeared as the Son of Man and the Son of God in a manger in Bethlehem. And here he begins to protect the covenant that he made with Abraham. He begins to protect it and watch over it. You can go through these scriptures and you can see it happening. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. Now, you know that Abraham was born not on the other side of the flood, but this side. So what does it mean? And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. The integrity of no false god worship had been maintained from Seth to Noah in that line. And Abraham was in the loins of Noah, and Noah was in the loins of Enos, and Enos was in the loins of Seth, and it passed right on down. But all of a sudden, you get to Terah, and the consistency is broken. When that happens, the one who will eventually redeem and bring us all together and fulfill the promise begins to protect the nation of Israel by protecting the seed. And you can see him do it as we go through these scriptures. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. So the angel of the Lord is a protector of the seed covenant, which we'll prove in a few moments. Is the angel of the Lord the protector of the seed covenant? I believe he is, and you'll see why as we go through this. Let's look at Genesis 11:32 to 12:3. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. He was an idolater. He worshipped false gods. He was the first one in the line that did that. And I know one thing that's been apparent in this Old Testament study. There is one sin that God places above all sin: spiritual adultery, worshiping other gods. He will not put up with it. Terah did it. So what happens? The angel of the Lord begins to protect the covenant, and Abraham, or Abram, is called out. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. He said, Abraham, get away from there, and from thy kindred, get away from your kinfolks, and out of thy father's house, any of your relatives. He said, get away from that mess. They've all gone into adultery. And he pulls Abraham out before Abraham can be corrupted, and the line continues. Abraham was undoubtedly born of Terah before Terah went into idolatry. And here comes the angel of the Lord after this, and he's going to see from that day forward that the integrity of that seed is protected. Because when Terah had Abraham, Terah probably hadn't worshipped idols, and Abraham had not. And so as far as bloodline was concerned, the integrity was maintained, but God pulled Abraham out of there as quick as he could into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. Now here we go. And in thee, this is the promised seed, Christ, the same one in the Garden of Eden. But now for the first time, you have the angel of the Lord appearing. Now the angel of the Lord appears for the first time in the 16th chapter. Here's the Abrahamic covenant. God pulls Abraham out of there. The angel of the Lord has never appeared up to that point. As a matter of fact, you will not find an angel mentioned, any angel, in the Bible prior to this. You won't find one prior to the 16th chapter of Genesis. He said, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's the promise of Christ. Now, when God makes a promise, God keeps it, even if man tampers it with it. Even if man tampers with it. God said, Abraham, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. He promised that Abraham's seed would be a blessing. All right, when God makes a promise, if man tampers with it, does God say, no deal? Uh-uh. When God makes a promise, God's going to keep it. And believe it or not, I believe that's the reason that this happened. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid, Hagar, into thy bosom. Genesis 16:5-11. The first appearance of the angel of the Lord. Now remember, way back in Genesis 11:32-12:3, the promised seed has been made to Abraham. And now God, from this point on, is going to watch over that seed. The angel of the Lord, the manifestation of the pre-incarnate Christ, is going to watch it like a hawk. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon me. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Abraham and Sarah goofed. But God made a promise. He didn't say, it is an unconditional promise. And when God makes an unconditional promise and he says, I'm going to bless the seed, even if human instrumentality messes with it, God is consistent and he does not change. So notice what he did. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do it to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt heartily with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. She was carrying the seed of Abraham. Now, one of the things I like about this is, when God says something, he means it. Sometimes I say something, and I may flip-flop. And sometimes I may say something, and circumstances may cause me from keeping my promise, because I'm a human being, and I'm very frail, and I'm very fickle. But when God says he's going to bless Abraham's seed, God's going to do it, even if man messes with it. And here's the first appearance of the angel of the Lord in the Bible. As a matter of fact, that's the first appearance of any angel. I didn't know that until I took time and was going through this and researching it. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. So God kept his promise through Ishmael, even though Abraham and Sarah had tampered with it, which God did not intend for them to do. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. So God blessed his promise, even though Abraham tampered with it. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Now, the 16th chapter is the first time that the angel of the Lord appears in Scripture. And he is the pre-incarnate Christ. As you go through these other Scriptures, if you have doubts about it, these other Scriptures will alleviate any doubts you might have. Now we go over to Genesis 21, 17 through 21. And God heard the voice of the lad, Ishmael, and the angel of God. Here's the angel of God again. The angel of God and the angel of the Lord, the same thing. Called Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, and I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Now, I'm not just a tactician. I'm not just a fella that looks for interesting, curious things in Scripture. I'll tell you what I get out of all this. There is nothing that God has promised that he will not fulfill. And if I know that I'm doing what God wants in accordance with his word, and God has said, you do this and I'll do this, then I know that God will do it. And this is living proof that even with man's instrumentality, God kept his promise. Genesis 22, 10 through 18. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. Isn't it interesting that this manifestation of the angel of the Lord? Now, this definite article in front of angel is interesting because this isn't just any angel. This is the angel of the Lord. It isn't some creature with wings. It's a manifestation of a man who has the countenance of an angel, and I believe it's the same angel that appeared with the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, one having a likeness to the Son of God. I believe it's a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Son of God who has always been before he took on the form of a man in a manger in Bethlehem. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. Notice, the protector of the seed covenant, because Isaac is the seed. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, and looked, and behold behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns, And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. That was a manifestation of the Lord at that time. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, now notice, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. This angel of the Lord is not a created angel. This angel of the Lord is a manifestation of the Son of God. Notice what he says. And said, this is the angel of the Lord speaking, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. So this is a pre-incarnate manifestation of the Son of God. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of thine enemies. And in thy seed, this is singular seed, shall all the nations of the earth, this is Messiah, be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, I'm prayerfully hopeful this won't be offensive to the Lord in any way. But as I look at this, what comes into my mind is the seed protecting the seed before the seed comes. It's God overseeing his own, the Son of God overseeing his own birth and maintaining the integrity of it and protecting it and delivering it all the way down to the time of its birth. Who was it that appeared to Joseph in a dream? Was the angel of the Lord? Who was it that appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him to go into Egypt? It was the angel of the Lord. This protective thing continues throughout all the Scripture. And it is an integrity, a maintaining of the seed of God and the protection of it by the power of God. Now, let's see. Genesis 24, 7 through 9. Now, remember, I'm contending that this pre-incarnate Son of God manifestation has a continual pattern of watching over the seed. He's involved in the selection of wives from which the seed will come. And here we find Abraham sending out someone for a son for his daughter for his son. Genesis 24, 7 through 9, and then verse 40. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that spake unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if a woman will not be willing to follow thee, then it shall be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. This is Abraham's servant going to get a wife for his son Isaac, who was to have another seed, Jacob, who was to be the propagator of the nation of Israel. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of thy kindred. Now, this is not to infer that God is an angel, and that God has wings like an angel. But it is to show that God manifests himself in many ways. Now, we see God manifested as Son, as Father, and as Holy Spirit. I am one person, yet I fulfill the role of a father, I fulfill the role of a husband, and I fulfill the role of a son, and yet I'm one person. Water in three phases, liquid, solid, gas, yet it's all water. So God manifested himself as the Son, as the Father. He has also manifested himself in other appearances as a man. When he came to Abraham at the Oaks of Mamre with two real angels that were created by God, that was a manifestation of the pre-incarnate Son of God, Jesus Christ, and it's the same one that was with the three Hebrew children in the fire furnace when they were delivered. Genesis 31, 3 through 13. And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return to the land of thy fathers, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Now, remember, Jacob, the trickster, has been born to Isaac. Jacob will soon be Israel. This is the promised seed. I'm saying that this angel of the Lord is continually overseeing, protecting, delivering the promised seed to make sure that the lion perpetrates itself into a manger in Bethlehem without ever worshiping false gods. Now, here we go. Jacob has gone back up to Rachel and Leah, and Laban has tricked the dickens out of him. But God, after all this time, has put up with Laban. But now we're involved here with the two women that God, the two main women that God is going to use to produce out of Jacob what we call the nation of Israel. There are others besides them. And he said unto them, I see your father's countenance, Laban's, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father. But your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. Now God has watched over Jacob. He has kept Jacob out of idolatry. Laban, Rachel, and Leah are all idolaters. If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages. Well, I don't know if Leah was or not. The speckled shall be thy wages. Then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ring straight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring straight. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it shall come to pass at the time that the cattle conceived, that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream. Now notice, and behold, the rams which leaned upon the cattle were ring straight, speckled, and grizzled. Gristled. Now notice, here's your angel of the Lord. He is involved in getting Jacob, Israel, out of that mess and back to the place where the seed could be born in Israel. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and he said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes and see. All the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-streaked, speckled and grizzled. For I, now follow this, personal pronoun, still the angel of God. I want you to notice something. Personal pronoun doesn't change. The angel of God, I, personal pronoun, he, the angel of God, I, the angel of God. Now, verse 13, I, personal pronoun, I am the God of Bethel. So this is not an ordinary angel. This is God manifesting himself as the God of Bethel and having the appearance of a man. Now, if God chose to manifest himself as a man, and people were used to seeing angels that had a glowing countenance, it's only natural that he would be identified as an angel. But I claim that this is a pre-incarnate manifestation of Christ protecting the seed, let's say the Son of God, protecting the seed that was come as Christ, the Messiah, in a manger in Bethlehem. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out of this land, and return to the land of thy kindred. It's remarkable. I haven't thoroughly researched it, but I haven't found a scripture yet where he is not involved in some way in delivering the promise that God made to Abraham after Terah broke the covenant. And he suddenly appears after that, and he has never appeared at that manifestation up until that time. Genesis 48, 14 through 16. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head. This is Joseph's son, who was the younger. And his left hand upon Manasseh's head, the oldest of Joseph's son, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. He should have put his hands upon Manasseh. Now, what are we talking about? Joseph was the son of Israel. Israel was the son of Isaac, and Isaac was the son of Abraham, and Abraham was the son of Terah, and God intervened to keep Abraham from becoming an idolater, and he has maintained the integrity all the way down through here. And he is involved in the blessing of all these people because it has to do with the seed covenant. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long until this day. Now, there can be no question that this is God. So it says, now notice how he refers to God here. Because this bothers some people because they don't like to think of God ever being referred to as an angel. But there's no way around this. The angel which redeemed me from all evil. Now, I never heard of an angel that could redeem anybody from all evil. And so God appeared as the Son of God in pre-incarnate form, manifesting himself to protect the covenant that had been made with Abraham, because he protected Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and he maintained that line all the way down to Christ. Now, let me stop for just a moment. Sometimes people that don't know me just get the impression that I'm a tactician and I just weave stuff together, and isn't that nice? I never mean to be that way, because this is what gives me strength. This is what caused me to continue. Anyone who goes to all this trouble, anyone who does this, and there is no inconsistency in it, from Genesis all the way through all those different writers, no inconsistency. The angel is always doing the same thing. And you see God's direct hand in protecting and delivering. This means that as long as I am trying to do what God wants in accordance with His Word, I have nothing to fear, and I can trust Him completely and thoroughly. And the angel of the Lord is mentioned several times in Psalms. And let's see. I don't have it out here, but let me read you something. I think it's in the 34th Psalm. And it's well worth reading, because I'm not just a tactician. I'm not just a synoptic analyst who spends all of his time trying to put stuff together, and then it never gels. Isaiah, let's see. I need the Psalm, 34. I was over in Isaiah trying to find the 34th Psalm. Okay, take a look at this 34th Psalm, because it's really interesting. Verse 7. Now, here's what this is all about. Look at all the trouble God went to. I mean, that's a lot of trouble. If God went to all that trouble, then there's got to be a reason. And it has to be tied up with the love of God for man. Listen to verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How are you going to do that? Pretty plain, isn't it? Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack. A young lion is strong, vicious, ought to be able to bring down his prey, ought to be able to take care of himself. And yet sometimes they starve to death. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but notice here, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. So this angel of the Lord is watching over me. He's watching over me right now in this jumpsuit. And he's watching over me every day. And I believe that. And the reason I believe it is because it has to be true. As I go through Scripture and I trace seeds and I trace appearances of these heavenly messengers, there's absolutely no inconsistency. It's always in the same pattern. That's impossible. It would have been absolutely impossible for the integrity and consistency of pattern to be maintained from Genesis to Revelation unless there was a superintending spirit that oversaw the whole thing. I tell you what, that's what spiritual growth is. When you finally get to the point where you actually believe this enough to where you're not afraid to go ahead and do whatever God wants and let the chips fall where they may, that's when you can overlook tragedy. That's when life means something. That's when it's worth something. So these technological things that I go through in these lines, sometimes people just like this sort of stuff because they say, well, I'll be, ain't that cute. But if you don't get the message out of it, all the cuteness in the world and all the idea, when somebody says, boy, isn't he smart, they miss the whole point of it. The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Exodus 3, 1 through 6. And here we have another appearance of the angel of the Lord. Okay, who is the promised seed today? Israel. Who has the devil been trying to destroy fanatically? Israel. Who's he trying to destroy right now in Russia? Israel. Who's he trying to get the Arab nations to destroy? Israel. You know what anti-Semitism is? It's nothing new. Why do people hate Jews so much? Why do Gentiles hate them so much? Why? Because there is in the flesh of man a working of the devil to destroy the entire flock, and God has been watching over them right on down. Now, Moses was a direct descendant in this line. Now, Moses kept, Exodus 3, 1 through 6. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. This angel of the Lord referred to himself as I am. Moses said, who shall I say sent me? He says, tell them I am has sent thee. So we're talking about a manifestation of God, and he manifests himself in many ways. God is so different from us that he has graciously appeared as a man so we could understand him. But I don't have any problem with God appearing as an angel. I don't have any problem with God appearing as a fire. I don't have any problem with God appearing as light. I don't have any problem with God appearing as whatever he wants to appear as, because God is a spirit and God can take on any form he wants. And so God has just been gracious enough to put it in himself in human form so that we can relate to him. Otherwise, we'd never be able to worship him. We worship him through what we can understand, his son, a man, Christ Jesus. If God had not manifested himself to us as a son, then he could never have paid the price for our sins, because he died for what we are. But neither could we ever have worshiped him, because we could never relate to God. He would always be some great distant figure, but he's not. I pray and I relate to God through Jesus Christ. And that's who the promised seed, of course, was. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, a bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he was turned aside to see. Now, when it talks about the Lord, it's merely saying he appeared as an angel. That's what people normally relate to an angel. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. Now, God's in that midst of the bush, and it says the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire. So it's got to be God. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Now, how do I know that the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, appearing first in the 16th chapter of Genesis, is God? A pre-incarnate manifestation of the Son of God. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And there is this reference letting them know that he is the protector, deliverer, and propagator of the seed. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. All right. Who is this angel of the Lord about to deliver? Israel. And over again, you find this. You find it right on down to our present-day text, where we are. Who was it that continually kept raising up judges? The angel of God. Now, I'm going to stop right here on Exodus 14, 19 through 22. And, believe it or not, on the end of this, I had about six sheets. On the end of it, I came right back to our scripture. You'll find the angel of the Lord appearing in your book of Judges. You'll find he appeared to Gideon. You'll find each time he raised up a man to deliver the seed. And who are the seed? Israel. And who does God protect? Israel. And why is Israel going to be established as the millennial kingdom? The Abrahamic covenant. And why am I going to heaven? Because the father of my faith is Abraham, and I'm one of those fortunate people who got blessed in the seed of Abraham, and I know that my blessing is secure. Because if God would keep a promise through Ishmael, even after Abraham and Sarah had tampered with it, think how absolutely certain his promise is to me through Christ, who was the promised seed, born of a virgin, who was an Israelite. So it's 8:25, and we'll stop there and pick up next Wednesday night.